Welcome back to another Brown Jewels. Hello, Ralph Brown here, Brown Jewels. Pleased to meet you. Good to have you back again. I've got episode number 7 coming right up for you. Apparently, most podcasts don't get past episode 3, so that's pretty good. It's the one thing I've not quit. I might quit climbing Run Rose and hosting speed dating, but I'm not quitting the podcast. But I do have to start the podcast on a very serious note before we get to the episode. I have to issue a correction for a false statement I said in the last podcast, episode number 6, being humiliated by old people on a mountain, / Monroe. I gave the most amount of facts I've ever given in a podcast before. 2 of them. However, there was something else in that podcast I didn't tell the truth about. I thought I was telling the truth. I just need to issue a correction on that right now so we can just move on with our lives. In podcast number 6, I told you about the step count challenge where I came second last out of 60 people, only beating a woman who was 7 months pregnant and who lost her Fitbit in the first week of the challenge. I've actually been corrected. A friend got in touch to correct me to tell me, actually, I came last. And the woman I worked with, who lost a Fitbit the first week, and who was 7 months pregnant, still did more steps than me in that first week than I did in the entire month. And I had the Fitbit on me the entire time. So there's some shame to start off the episode with, right? There's some shame, a correction, and some embarrassment for me. I actually did get beaten on that step count challenge. And for this, I am very sorry for lying to you, but I thought it was the truth. I hoped it was the truth, to be honest. I thought, oh, there's no way that could have happened. But of course, there is a way, and it did happen. For anyone giving a shit about my listener voicemail from Nick from California, who was using my podcast to practice his Scottish accent, I promised Nick some free vocal lessons to go through his Scottish accent, to read through the script with him. And that happened. We had a Zoom call on Friday. We went through the script. It was a lot of fun. It was my first time ever reading a script. I felt very professional, I felt like an actor. But Nick's accent sounded really good though. I don't know how much use I was. I recorded a tongue twister. Well, let's record, I tell you what, let's actually read out the tongue twister. So he got me to record a tongue twister that he uses to help practice accents. To sit in solemn silence on a dull, dark dock in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock. Awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shock from a cheap and chippy chopper on a big black block. Boom. Done it first time. Yes. So that's the tongue twister I recorded. We did read-throughs of the script as well, which I recorded. I have to put this out in another bonus episode. Nick told me some funny stories from his acting world. He met Mark Zuckerberg, who's apparently even weirder than we see when he's trying to be very kind of like, I'm a person. I'm a person. I promise I'm a person. Apparently, in real life, he's weirder than that. So I'll try and get that out in a bonus episode soon. Nick also played an absolute blinder and got me my first listener in Asia. So hello to my new listener in Bangalore in India. Hello there, thank you for being my very first listener in Asia. So guys, pressure's on. We just need one person in Africa to listen to this podcast, and then we've covered all the continents. So pressure's on. If you know someone in Africa, send the podcast. My Fringe 2022 show is now on sale. Ralph Brown, Petty Man. Will be on almost every night in August, from like the 5th to the 29th or something. The ticket link is in the description of the show. Please come along and see me do some stand-up comedy. I'm working on a lot of new material from last year, so there's going to be even more new stuff. So I'm doing, I think it's maybe, I don't know how many gigs that'll be in August. I'll be doing like 23 gigs. I take the Mondays off. I'm a fuck working Mondays. They're the worst ones in the Fringe. Got loads of gigs coming up to practice for that. Got 8 gigs in 10 days at the start of June. They're all over the place in Edinburgh, Glasgow, Liverpool. So that's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to fucking break me. Apparently, I've been missing a key piece of information when I'm telling you about the podcast. Apparently, I meant to tell you to review it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, but that sounds a lot like I'm telling you to like and subscribe, and I'm not about to start telling you to do that. So this is me saying, if you want to do that, you can do it. Apparently it helps push me up the rankings, but I'm not going to shove it in your face. I got an email the other day that says, I have some cool information that might interest you. The Brown Jewels is ranking very well in France. The Brown Jewels has good performance in Apple Podcast rankings last 30 days. You are positioned 207 in the entire country of France. Then it's like, and that's just within the comedy category. And I was like, well, that's less of an achievement. So in comedy, in France, I'm currently number 207. No, me, I don't like to brag, but there it is. I'm shoving that in your face. But I tell you what, let's just crack on with episode number 7. Enjoy. Okay, the last few episodes have gone a bit off track. This was meant to be a podcast about some kind of comedy stuff as well. As well as we ended up talking about speed dating, mountain climbing and getting extorted online. So today I'm going to get back to talking about the thing I love most in comedy, stand-up comedy. I'm going to talk about emceeing, hosting, comparing, doing crowd work. If you've ever been to a comedy show, you'll know this is the person that comes out first, the comedian that's right on at the very start of the show. They come out, they introduce the show, tell you what's going to happen, and then they start introducing the comedians, and then they talk to the crowd, and they interact with the crowd, and they find out who's in the crowd. And it's the best part of every single show. Well, as long as the MC is good, that's a bit of a caveat right there. When you start off in comedy, you're just kind of like writing jokes. You're very focused on just like getting up on stage, saying the words, getting the jokes done, finding out what's funny. The prospect of talking to the crowd or the crowd even talking to you just throws you off. Most people are just terrified of talking to the crowd in the beginning. Most people in the beginning are just like, I just want to say the jokes and then get off the stage. And that's exactly what I was like. It took me about 3 years of doing comedy to be able to just pluck up the courage to just kind of go off piste a bit and just talk to the audience. But being able to host is like a whole new different skill. You can write jokes all you want. You then have to learn a whole new skill of talking to the crowd. It's a whole new thing to learn. Like a good MC like makes a gig just the most fun because it makes your job easier. A shit MC doesn't make it impossible, but it ain't great. There's people out there that record entire crowd work shows. What they do is they just come out on stage with no plan and then they just find out who are the weird people in the audience, find out their stories. And I love shows like that. If you want a really great example of that, there's a guy called Big J Okerson. He's got an album on Spotify, Apple Music. It's called I Promise Myself I Wouldn't Ask. Just listen to that and just listen to some guy come out on stage and just talk shit to the audience and makes it hilarious. Highly recommend that. When people come into a comedy show, they're like, oh, I don't want to sit in the front row because I don't want the host to pick on me. I don't want them to pick on me. And the most mental thing is that when the host does talk to the people in the audience, they tell them absolutely everything. The audience, I don't know why, they just feel under pressure. They tell the truth. They confess everything. It's the best thing. I don't understand why people do it. People don't understand. Oh, they can lie and just not tell the truth to the host. And then, like, kind of keep their head down. People spill the most mental truths when they're put under pressure. I watched a couple on a first date sit in the front row of a show at the Stand, which is just a rookie mistake. Do not sit in the front row if you're on a first date. In fact, actually, do, because it makes our job funnier. So please come on a first date to any shows. So this guy, he's really nervous. The host's asking the most basic questions, and he's just like, he's terrified. He's absolutely just like shaking with nerves that the fact is he has to speak in front of a room full of people. And the host is just kind of like, not putting him under pressure, just kind of asking the basic questions. And I can't remember how it came up, but he said something like, oh, yeah. Oh, don't worry, you're on a first date. Don't worry, I won't ask you what kind of like porn you watch. And the host just kind of goes to move on with his next sentence. And the wee guy in the front row on the first date, in front of his date, just goes, hidden camera porn. Hidden camera porn. It's like, what? What did you just say? Like the whole room erupts and he realizes he's fucked up. The date gives him a look as if to say, well, this fucking date's over. And everyone is killing themselves laughing because this wee guy just confesses something that he didn't need to confess to. And that's gold to an MC. That is gold. You then just get to have a laugh with that, ask the guy more questions, and it just relaxes everyone in the room because they're like, oh, I'm not the mental person in the crowd. It's like a spontaneous thing. It's never going to happen again. Everyone in the room kind of knows, oh, this is funny. This has only happened tonight. This is brilliant. So in the beginning, you're not really trusted to be a host because like I said, it can make or break a gig. It can make a gig really shit if the host isn't good. So you have to kind of wait until you can actually prove yourself that you can do it and you're not going to ruin everything. So I now run a gig every Tuesday in Edinburgh, Spandex Comedy. And it's purely done for the basis of being able to practice this skill. So I get to do this every single week. I get to go out there and ask people and find out the most mental things about people in the audience. You'll see a lot of comedians putting out crowd work videos on like TikTok, Instagram, like that. That's the way it should be done. That's the way you should be showing the interactions with the crowd, not on a 20-minute podcast. So I get it. I get this isn't a short, snappy, shareable clip. But this isn't a quick story. And in case you hadn't realised, I love telling stories. So here we are. So what you do when you start the gig, you're kind of like scanning the room. Who is the mental people in the room? Who are going to be the funny people in the room? Who's going to give me some material to work with? So a few weeks ago, I'm doing the gig, and before it, I'm scanning the crowd. I'm like, who is going to be funny in the audience tonight? Who's going to give me some laughs? Dead center of the room, two women who have clearly been drinking all day. And I was like, perfect. I'll talk to them. So I start with the usual, how do you two know each other? And one of them, I'm her agony aunt with all the bloody relationship problems she has. And I was like, okay, let's pursue this. I was like, oh, you got a bit of a troublesome husband or boyfriend out there. He's spending too much time with his mates, you know, just trying to throw out some soft suggestions for her to kind of go, yeah, it was one of them. And I was way off. Because she just goes at the top of her voice in front of a room full of people she's never met before, most of whom are like 18, 19, 20, very young crowd. This woman just goes, he was fucking prostitutes in Singapore. What? And the whole room erupts. And I could just see everyone's face looking at me like, good luck with that one. And you're on the spot. You have to then just come up with questions to be like, let's try and make this funny. And onto a really sad story. I don't even have to ask any questions from here on in. She tells me absolutely everything. He got caught because he used the joint credit card in a brothel called the Tower of Terror. That sounds like he's into some mental shit. If you go into the Tower of Terror. So then we're having a laugh with it. And I'm like, oh, hey, this sounds like an episode of Jeremy Kyle. Actually, your ex-husband is here. Let's bring him out for a paternity test. And she went, leave my kids out of it. I was like, oh fuck. And then it started to become not funny. So I was like, abandon ship, get the hell out of this conversation. Let's get away to something a bit more normal. And there was a sweet, like innocent looking couple sitting in front of them. So I was like, right, let's talk to them. Let's get away from the madness that is clearly not funny anymore. You're bumming everyone out. This is meant to be a comedy show. So I say to this couple, oh, how did you two meet? Innocent question. And as soon as I asked the question, oh, how did you two meet? They gave each other a look as if to say, we've got to tell them this story. And as soon as I saw that look, I was like, we're onto something good here. So the guy's name's Craig, and he goes, well, we're both paramedics. And I kept asking her out, and she kept saying no. And I was like, right, Craig, take the fucking hint, you creep. And he's like, there's more. And he's kind of making out like it was going to be this really, like, lovely story. So we're both paramedics, and what happened was one of the patients we were treating was having a heart attack. So I bribed the guy having a heart attack to ask her out on my behalf so she would feel pressured to say yes. And I think I just said, what the fuck, Craig? You absolute monster of a human being. And she's kind of like laughing and smiling. She's like, how can I say no to that? As if it's like some kind of like cute story. And the guy lying having the heart attack must have just been like, I'm sorry, what did you say? It sounded like you just asked me to ask someone out on your behalf, even though I'm dying. Is it just to get that right, yeah? How can I say no to that? Because it's a crime. I'm pretty sure that's a crime. Yeah, mate, I know you're having a heart attack, but I'm really lonely and I'm an absolute psycho. And I'm trying to get a date with this girl who's said no to me about 20 times. Can you help me out here? I'd be like, no, how about you just save my life, you little virgin? So as an MC, you're up there and you're like, holy shit, where do I go with this? And you can't practice for this. There's absolutely nothing you can do. You just have, in that moment, you have to then just try and go, right, let's just try and navigate this. Let's just try and make it funny. But also, let's rip the shit out of Craig for being an absolute mental fuck. And I just kept thinking to myself, how did we even get here? How did we get here? And every part of me just wanted to go, so... prostitutes in Singapore, hey? But I think she probably would have shoved the mic stand right up my arse if I'd done that, so I stayed well clear. So I think a good part of this podcast is just going to be me telling you about crowd work, all the times I've put my foot in it, and all the mental things people say to me when I'm on stage. Another part of this podcast is going to be looking at some mad things on the internet, some funny articles I found, or anything that you found. So if you see a funny article or something weird, send it in and I'll cover it on the podcast. I can't even remember how I found this one, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to enjoy this. Headline: after meeting on Mount Everest, couple keep the adventure going for their wedding. And already you know that these people are going to be just the worst people ever. If you are the type of person that goes, you know what, I've achieved so much in my life, I just want to go and climb Mount Everest. Nothing else challenges me. It's the only thing left in life. Nature's greatest challenge, and I've managed to do it.
Have you though? Because I've watched a lot of Mount Everest documentaries, and a lot of it's just rich people with no personalities whose substitute for the personalities are like, they like to do extreme things. Like, whoa, you're crazy, man, but you're also boring as fuck. And all they do is they get all these poor Sherpas to carry all the equipment up. So you've not climbed Everest if you're getting someone to carry all your stuff up. They got this like VIP treatment. They get woken up by like hot towels and coffee in the morning. It's like, it sounds like a 5-star hotel. The conditions they stay on Everest are probably better than some of the conditions I've stayed in a hotel in London. So already I've got strong opinions on people that climb on Mount Everest, thinking that they are the best people in the world and that no one else can do what they can do, when in actual fact they are pieces of shit. So, moving on. When the bride and groom are a rock climber and mountaineer who met on Mount Everest, you know the wedding is going to be epic. Cringing already, but good, because cringe is good. Cringe is what I enjoy. Right, it tells me their climbing CV to make it sound like they are totally extreme. Wow, I'm so impressed. This couple have taken their bodies to the extreme, and they didn't chill out when it came to planning their wedding. So already you know this is going to be an absolute nightmare. They decided to first hike to the summit of Cotopaxi, a 19,347-foot active volcano in Ecuador, then ski down it before getting married on the beach in Ayampe. No idea what that is. I'm guessing Ecuador as well. So they're going to hike to the summit of a almost 20,000-foot volcano as part of their wedding. And then they're going to ski down it, and then they're going to get married at the bottom, I think. It's like, right, we get it. You're extreme. Chill out. I hate these people. Honestly, you should have seen our wedding. Honestly, no, we climbed up, and then we skied down it, and then we got married at the bottom. And I was, I've mentioned that we're really, really, like, mental. And we're really into adrenaline sports. Yeah, you mentioned, Adrian. Shut the fuck up. Our life is very much built... This is a quote from the couple, by the way. I'm not just saying this. Our life is very much built around love and commitment in a traditional relationship way. But then, also adventure and how to support each other in adventure and how to make sure we always have big adventures together. Oh my Jesus Christ. This got worse. This just got so much worse. The pair invited around 42 of their family and friends to join them for the hike. Oh, Jesus Christ. Imagine getting a wedding invite through the door. Oh, did you hear that Adrian and Emily got married? Everyone would be like, oh Christ, what are they going to do for their wedding? What are they going to do even just for their wedding invite? And Adrian and Emily would be like, oh, we don't actually do traditional wedding invites because we're not a traditional couple. You know, I don't know if we've mentioned we're quite extreme. We actually sent out a treasure map that had loads of riddles for them to solve, and every riddle gave you a piece of a coordinate. And once you got all the coordinates together, it was a mountain, and they had to free climb the mountain. And to get down the mountain, you had to create your own parachute made from wolf shit and eucalyptus leaves. And at the bottom, if you survived, you had to then fight the leader of the local tribe in a hand-to-hand combat. And if you managed to beat him, then you get the wedding invite. Unfortunately, 18 of our friends died trying to get this, but you know, it's just we didn't really want those kind of people at the wedding anyway. They might not have done that, but they also might have. But imagine if it was just like, you just got the wedding invite through the door. Hey, you are cordially invited to climb a 20,000-foot volcano in Ecuador. Adrian, sorry mate, am I going to have to take some time off work for this? Like, how long is this going to take? The hike itself is 9 days. Jesus Christ, Adrian. So I'm going to need a few days travelling out there, a few days travelling home on the other side, and then I'll have to allow for the 7-day coma I'm going to be in after the 9-day hike. I only get 24 days holidays, you maniac. Although many of their pals are also extreme athletes, so some of them will be fine with that. That also means some of them weren't. a 9-day hike.
Wow. The arrogance of this couple. The arrogance of them. That they think
people will want to come and celebrate our relationship and our love.
They want to climb for 9 days. In difficult weather. Difficult weather, I might add. Up an active volcano. How high is the volcano? Like couple hours up, couple hours down? No, no, no. 19,347 foot. And by the way, once we get to the top, we're going to ski back down. Right. Come on, mate. Come on, Adrian. I don't even own skis. The size of the suitcase that these people would have to take is insane. So remember, they're going to hike up a volcano. You're going to hike up a volcano in difficult conditions. It's like snowy. You're going to have to take all of that gear. You're going to have to take all your mountain climbing gear. And then you're going to ski down it. So you're going to have to take your skiing gear as well. Then when you get to the bottom at the beach, I don't know where this mental place is in the world, where there's a beach at the bottom of a volcano. Yeah, once you get down the beach, then you're going to need beach wear and you're going to be pretty shagged out from the 9-day trek. They must have looked like absolute dog shit in their wedding photos. That would kill me. That would kill me. I'd be like, Adrian, is there a chance you're going to do the ceremony over Zoom? I'd be devastated. I'd be absolutely devastated if that was me. Getting that invite, I'd be like, no, I'm not going. A wee wedding abroad's fine. Holiday in the sun. Wedding abroad, yes. Ecuador? Yeah, so you're having a fucking laugh, mate.
I do think it'd be pretty funny, though, if they had this, like, 9-day hike, a wedding in Ecuador, skiing down, trip on the beach, and then some people only got invited to the evening ceremony. You know, that slap in the face of an invite you get. Shove that invite right up your arsehole, Adrian.
But they actually managed to convince 42 friends to go to the top of this mountain. 42 of them. Who are these people? And I tell you, look, you're probably like, oh, you've been a bit harsh on them. You've been a bit harsh on them, they're just in love. Right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to change your mind right now. If you're on their side, I'm about to change your mind. One of the social media posts of the fakest of the fake fucks I've ever seen in my life. Oh, look at this. Look at us living our best life out here. Look at us on this amazing life. I hate people like this. This was his Instagram post summing up the climb and the wedding. We battled through wind emoji, peered inside a volcano emoji, climbed with 42 of our favourite humans. Ugh. This fucking makes me sick. My favourite human. Yeah. But here's the line that's going to convince you he's an absolute abomination of a human being. We battled through wind, peered inside a volcano, climbed with 42 of our favourite humans, cuddled on the tippity top. Oh, on the tippity top. Ugh. My skin is crawling. And then he's put, our heart is full. Right. Admit it. You hate them. Admit it. If anyone likes this couple after any of this, never listen to this podcast again. Never listen to this again. These people are awful. I said it before, the whole look at our amazing life on Instagram, people. I fucking hate fake people on the internet. I hate them more than anything. If you have to spend your life convincing people of how cool your life is shit and you're a terrible person. And you're a boring little fuck. It's normally people with absolutely no personality that have to be like, look how cool my life is. No one cares. So if you hear of any people like this, if you read any articles about people like this, or even if you just read any kind of article that's just a bit weird, you think it could be funny, please just send it in. I love things like this. I love it. And that brings us nicely to the end of episode 7. So thank you very much for listening to this one. Bit of a two-parter, bit of two different parts to the podcast today. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep sharing it. It doesn't have to just be Asia and Africa. Share it anywhere you want. Tell anyone you want about the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. New episodes every Thursday. I love you all. That's too, again, no. I love you all. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? I'm too strong sometimes. Goodbye.